Hare Krishna. So happy to see all of you here today. And the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the prime benediction for the age of Kali. Harinama, Harinama, Harinam Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva 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 gantiranyata. According to the Kali Upanishad, that the holy name of the Lord is the prime method for making advancement in spiritual life, especially in the age of Kali, Kali Shantanana Upanishad. And it's emphatic about it. In fact, in Vedic style, when you say something three times, Shastra says it three times, then it means it's emphatic and we should take notice. So specifically, it's said three times, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. And then it says, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. So it's a rather emphatic verse. Eva Kevalam. Eva means certainly, and Kevala means only. So certainly there's only this process. And the chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful that even if one isn't acquainted with the language of the mantra, in other words, I may not know Sanskrit, the mantra is in Sanskrit, Hare Krishna Rama, I may not be acquainted with it. I might be Chinese, I might be Scottish, I might be from Bulgaria. However, it's from a different stratum. It's from a different plane of consciousness. It's from a transcendental plane of consciousness. And even without knowing the language of the mantra, those who hear it become enlivened and liberated by hearing the name. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he chanted Hare Krishna within the home of Srivast Thakur for 1 year with his close disciples, they locked the door and they would chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra all night long and dance and experience Krishna's association. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit ecstatic emotions along with his devotees just by this chanting process. Kirtan, the glorification of Krishna, a direct communion with God through the chanting of his names, especially congregationally. Then after 1 year, he told the devotees, go outside, take it out to the streets and begin chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so that others will be able to take advantage and hear the mantra. 500 years later, this is still going on. And typically, I mean, when Prabhupada started his campaign in 1965, his main means of spreading the movement was through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In fact, when he got to New York, there's a famous park, and within that park there's a famous tree, and you can go visit that tree, it's still there. There's a plaque and a memorial there to Srila Prabhupada, and also when you go there you'll find garlands hung around the tree. And Prabhupada went to that tree with one pair of kartals and he sat down and he chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. And he did so consistently. And after some time, some people came forward, listened to the mantra, and then they began to dance. And then when some people saw them dancing, they came and they also joined. And by ones and then by twos and then by threes, people came and they began to dance to the sound of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, if you ask those people, what is the language of the mantra? What does it mean? Why are you dancing? They may not be able to tell you immediately what it all means, but they would tell you that it's an unusual sound that they've never heard before, that there's something more to it than meets the ear, that it's hard to put one's finger on. And Rupa Goswami, welcome. Please come in. Make yourself at home. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Rupa Goswami, in fact, talks about the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra like this. He says that while I'm chanting, I come to the point where I feel that one tongue is not enough. I need more than one tongue. And I need more than two ears. One set, two. I need hundreds. I need millions of ears to hear it more. He's leaning into it. He's hearing it. And the name is enchanting him so much. And he's feeling communion with Krishna through the chanting process. that he needs more ears. Two aren't enough. Not enough tongues. This is a very practical means of self-realization, that by chanting over and over again the name of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, God actually reveals himself. Iti murti abhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam. Narada Muni himself mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in his dialogue with Srila Vyasadeva, who is his disciple, that there is a murti that we worship, and it is in the form of sound. Iti murti abhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam. In other words, we consider the murti, the form of the Lord. We can worship the form of the Lord in the form of wood, metal. We have some deities, some murtis that are made of brass, some are made of marble, some are made of wood. You can make a murti made of jewel. You can also have a murti made of paint. Krishna's absolute, so his form in the form of a picture. He can also reciprocate with you. And a few weeks ago, or before I left, I told a story about a devotee in Japan who had that experience. Do you remember the story? Shall I remind you quickly? There was a there's a devotee in Japan. Her name is Tapasvini. And before she was a devotee, she was in a kind of a business where she would go out and meet new clients and set up accounts. And she had a person who was training her how to do that. And he also made money whenever she would go out and make accounts. So this person who was training her was a devotee, but for one reason or another, he had stepped back from his practice in devotional service. And he was living in Japan. He's an American. And he was doing business, but he had given up his practice of devotional service. Somehow or other, when he was at her house for a training session, he had a roll, and inside it there was a poster, a cardboard tube, and inside was a poster. And he happened to have it that night. He was carrying it from one place to another, and he left it at her house. And she called him up and said, "You left this poster roll here." And he said, "Oh, yes, sorry, I'll get it next time." And then the next time he forgot. And he forgot two other times. So finally she got curious. "I wonder what's in here." So she opened it, and inside, rolled up, was a picture of Krishna. And it's a particular picture you may have seen before. It's been around ISKCON for many years. It's a picture of Govinda. He's sitting on a rock, and he's next to him there's a deer. You know that picture? It's a very beautiful picture of Govinda. And she saw the picture. She had no idea who it was, what it was. But in her mind, she thought, well, and she didn't even believe in God, but she said, if there was a God, this is probably what he'd look like. In fact, when he first saw it, he thought the picture was female. So he thought, well, this is the Supreme Goddess, probably, not knowing anything about the picture. So since he wouldn't be back for a few weeks, she took the poster, took the liberty to put it on her wall. And at the time, she was a smoker, and she used to smoke in her apartment. But when the picture was up and she smoked, she started thinking that maybe the smoke is bothering this picture of God. And so she became a little bit reticent about smoking in the living room where the picture was. So she went into the bathroom to smoke, and she'd open the window and blow the smoke out the window so it wouldn't bother him. But then she thought, well, he probably even knows I'm in here doing that, so I probably shouldn't do that, so I'll only smoke outside. And then she found herself, you know, going out of the apartment, and during the day working, she'd be thinking about that picture. And she'd come home, and then she'd have a kind of communion with the picture, and she started developing relationship with the picture, and it was actually changing her life, that picture of Govinda. And one day, walking down the street, she met a devotee. Now, devotees go here, there, and everywhere, and they interact with the public. And the reason that they do is because that's their job. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dveshosti na priyaha, that I'm equal, sama. I don't get involved. I don't interfere in the life of the living entity. We're Krishna's parts and parcels. In quality, we're the same as Krishna. In quantity, we're different. We're dependent on Krishna. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidhati kaman. We can tell the difference between us and God. One time I heard a priest. He said, and someone asked him, oh, you've been a priest for so many years. You must know so much about God and religion and everything. He said, actually, I only know two things. There is a God, and I'm not him. And this verse also says the same thing. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidhati kaman. Take a look around. Are you the maintainer or are you the maintained? If you're the maintainer, it means that, you know, you're self-sufficient. You're able to make your own food. But I can't make my own food. I can't even provide anything. Light, air, breath. I'm dependent on God at every second. We can notice this and understand that I'm actually the maintained. So Krishna's the maintainer. I'm the maintained. And in any case, she developed this relationship with the picture. And now she was walking down the street and she met the devotees doing their job, because Krishna doesn't get involved in the life of the living entity, but he deputes his devotees and asks them, please intervene on my behalf, distribute Krishna consciousness, so that people have an opportunity to begin their path back to Godhead. Living entities in the material world are called nityabada. It means eternally conditioned. They're from a time immemorial. It's called anadi karma. Anadi means without beginning. Now, that's a concept that is not approachable by the materialistic mind. That is the mind absorbed in the current timeline of the material world, to say anadi, beginningless. How long have you been here? Forever. However, this is the situation, according to the Shastra. We've been entangled in karma since a time immemorial. And according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Maya Mukti Jivarnahi Swata Krishna Gyan. There is not an automatic release of the living entity from the material world. It's not swata. It's not automatic that I can just step out of it. I have to have outside help. In other words, if you're stuck at the bottom of a blind well, means sometimes people have a well on their property, and then they abandon the property. And now the well is still there in the middle of the field. The grass grows up around it. You can't see that it's there. You're walking across the field. You fall in the middle of a field. Nobody knows where you are. You have no cell phone. And you're stuck at the bottom of the well. There's no way out. And until somebody comes and rescues you, brings a rope and says, here, grab onto the rope, I'll pull you out, then you're stuck in the well. And that is the situation of the jiva in the material world. Until there's some outside help, it's not swata, it's not automatic. He can't get out by himself. So the devotees know this. They've been saved by the grace of other devotees, and therefore they extend themselves to help others out of compassion. And by the instruction of the Lord, who asks us to also distribute the knowledge of Krishna consciousness by which people can become liberated. So she's walking down the street minding her own business, and she met a devotee engaged in his occupation of distributing Krishna consciousness on behalf of Krishna. And she got an invitation to come to a temple where there was a feast. And so she came, and when she walked in, she saw the same picture on the wall. She heard the chanting of Hare Krishna. She tasted Krishna prasadam. She met the devotees, and they acquainted her with the picture that she had come in contact with serendipitously, and told her, this is the picture of Govinda. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the original person, the cause of all causes. And that made sense to her. And now she connected it. And she became very excited that she knew now who the picture was and why Govinda had reciprocated with her through the picture, because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a very excited mood, she went home. She called her friend who had accidentally left the poster at her house. And she left a message on his answering machine and said, "I figured out who this is. You left the picture at my house. I took the liberty to open it. I put it on my wall. I admit that. And now I know who it is." And this devotee, who, as I said, had fallen away from the path of Krishna consciousness, he called back and left a message on her machine and said, "If you at all want to have a normal life, roll the poster back up, put it in the tube, and walk away. Because you'll never be the same." And Rupa Goswami gives a prayer like this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which the devotees, some of the gopis, are actually speaking to each other, saying, "Don't go to Keshi Ghat during the evening and the moonlit evening, because if you see Govinda there playing on his flute in the moonlight, you will be finished. He will steal away your mind and heart, and you'll never be the same. You will not be able to conduct yourself like you were before. Your goals, your aspirations for happiness, your optimism for the material world, everything will be finished. This is Lord Hari. He actually takes away our material life." And this, "Iti murtyabhidanena mantra murtyama murtikam yajite yajna purusha sasamyag purusha puman." This means, "Sasamyag darshana puman," means that the most complete darshan of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be had through the murti of mantra. So the mantra is there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Absolutely a tangible form of the Lord in which I can have complete darshan of Krishna. He will reveal himself completely, says Narada Muni, through this mantra. Therefore, great liberated souls, "I mukta kareru pasyamanam." This chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is taken up seriously by great liberated souls. In fact, devotees like Haridas Thakur, he's the Namacharya. Many of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they took birth in low families. Normally, when Krishna appears, he comes with his entourage. This is called tat priyartam. All of his associates, they appear before he comes, and they set the stage. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, appeared, before he came, his associates also appeared. But many of them appeared in non-Brahmin families. Some of them, like Haridas Thakur, appeared in a Muslim family. Some of them appeared outside the holy dham. That's very unusual. There are reasons for that. One of the reasons is Mahaprabhu is so compassionate that he wanted his associates to distribute themselves outside the holy dham to give other people, the most fallen kinds of people, an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. And he also showed that anyone from the lowest position of life can become elevated to the topmost position of life by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And Haridas Thakur became the Namacharya, that is the acharya of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He chanted Hare Krishna about 180 rounds a day. How many do we do generally? We do a minimum of 16. When Prabhupada first came to America, he asked us to chant 64 rounds a day. Now, this is normal. Like, when you live in India, in a holy dham, like during the month of Kartik, I was just there for a month. And if you're there in an ashram, and you're not going out to preach every day, you're doing normal ashram duties, really it's the standard to chant 64 rounds. And in that kind of environment, it's not that hard. You can chant 64 rounds. You have full concentration. Everyone else is doing service full time today, full time. And you can chant 64 rounds. When Prabhupada asked in the West for the devotees to chant 64 rounds, they came back and said, impossible. And very difficult, because there are so many distractions, there are many demands on our life just to maintain the various kinds of machines that are supposed to be saving us time. We end up maintaining them, having to pay insurance upon insurance, and all the other kinds of overhead that we accrue just by living in the West to maintain the body, which is actually a little bit ridiculous. I was just, this morning, I was looking in my garden, and there was a persimmon. Does everyone know what a persimmon is?
It's a fruit.
Yeah, it's a fruit. It's around this time of year, it's very beautiful because most of the trees are bare, right? But the persimmon fruit comes out now. It's a sort of what color would you say it is?
Orange.
Kind of orangey, but there's another name of a color I'm thinking of that's a little more precise. But all right, orange, what? Amber's brown.
This is orangish yellow.
There's a name for that. What is it? Anyway. It's a beautiful tree, and even during the winter time in California, there's these persimmons. And is that a big deal? Well, to some people it is. For the squirrels, it is. Yeah, the squirrels, I was watching, and there's a tree in my neighbor's yard that's full of persimmons every year. It's a big, old tree. And all the other trees are losing their leaves and are going dead, going dormant this time of year. And this tree is full of persimmon fruits, and the squirrels are up there, and the birds, having a feast. And I saw this morning, when the light started to come up again, on top of my fence, there was a half-eaten persimmon. Squirrel had a half-eaten it and left it there. And probably couldn't eat anymore. He was so full. He probably staggered home, you know, to sleep it off. That half persimmon that he ate. And where does he sleep? Well, you know, he doesn't sleep anywhere that costs anything. It's just a little hole in the tree. There's no rent. There's no, there's no landlord. There's no manager. There's no key. He just walks in and falls asleep. This is Krishna's maintaining. And he makes sure everyone... What to speak of a squirrel in the jungle? There are elephants. You know how much an elephant eats? In fact, in Hastinapur, there used to be elephants everywhere. This is a sign of great opulence, because if someone can maintain one elephant, it means they're very wealthy, because it costs a lot of money. I mean, some people have a cat or a dog, and it, you know, almost makes them go broke. But what to speak? Try to feed an elephant. What to speak of having a whole stable full of elephants, Hastinapur. That's why it was called Hastinapur. It's full of hosties. And they had to maintain them. And they were everywhere. This was the great wealth of society. Think of Krishna. There's elephants all over the earth. There's ants all over the earth. There's birds. There's deer. There's lions. And every single one of them has their kind of food every day available. Of course, they have to work a little bit for it. Something. It's not that it's, you know, a lion has to go out and chase down its food. It's not so nice being a lion sometimes. But it's available. Krishna makes it all available. So Krishna's maintaining. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. Is there some prasadam they can have? Give them prasadam. Give them a book. Bhagavad Gita's for all my friends. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita? You have one of these? What else? What else can I get you? Krishna book? You have Krishna book?
I'm here from Sydney, actually. That's why.
How long are you here for?
For 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Well, you know, you're from the Sydney Temple?
Yes.
We're having a book marathon here.
Oh,
well. We've pledged 20,000 books that we're going to distribute over the next few weeks.
But I'm just traveling.
Well, let's give you some books you can distribute while you travel. Yeah, get them some books. How many can you take? Five? Okay. What's your name?
Avinash.
Haribo. Five books for Avinash. So get him five small books or medium books, whatever he likes. And then you can distribute on your way, and then you just have to write back and tell us how it went. Okay. Thanks for coming. Hare Krishna. So, Krishna's maintaining. We're the maintained. Welcome back. And I believe the story's become so convoluted. I'm not sure where I am now, but... huh? Yeah, persimmon, I know, but that's there's farther back to go than that. So, anyway, be that as it may, the Lord is maintaining us, and He's arranging everything in our lives. And those who take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, took care of them? Thank you. Perfect. Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. And report that score to Rakshit, too, that you distributed 15 books. And everyone should be thinking like this because they have 20,000 books to distribute. So, you know, whatever you have to do, take your full responsibility, each one of you, to distribute as many books as possible. You'll take some. Okay, good. Okay, good. Take some to your school. Take some to your work. Wherever you have to go, take books, distribute them. They have their impact. So the liberated souls chant Hare Krishna. And if we follow in their footsteps, even if I'm not liberated, if I take the process of liberation as a way to follow in the footsteps of great liberated souls, Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantam Atoksajam Satvam Bishuram Shemaya Kalpante Yenutaniha Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami says that all the great liberated souls, they worship Lord Vishnu. Why? Because he's above the modes of material nature. He's unaffected by the material world. And therefore, by thinking of him, by worshiping him, by being in contact with his form, by eating the remnants of his food, I also become transcendental. And this, that says the verse, Bejare Munio Tagre, Agre means previously, all the munis, all the great sages, that's what they did. They know this from Shastra. They follow the Veda. They follow the Shastra. They know beyond a shadow of the doubt that the way to actually attain benefit and wealth in life is to worship Lord Vishnu. Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantam Adhoksajam. He's Adhoksaja. He's indescribable by mundane words. There's A and Sha in the Sanskrit alphabet. Ka 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 na cha 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 na ta 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 na. You go through the whole alphabet. You got ah to sha, and so adhoksaja means he who is beyond all those syllables. You can't even conceive. He's beyond. He's turiya. He's in the fourth dimension, beyond what we can conceive with our mind and senses. We insist. Please take photographs. Spread the glories of Sri Sri Radhamadan Mohan. Yes, and check back in with us too. Let us know where the books went. Can you give him my card? It's right in my bag on the inside. There's a little flap that has cards in it. Here's my card. Hare Krishna. Come back soon. Safe trip. Haribo. Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantam Adhoksajam Satvam Bishudham Shemaya Kalpante Yinutaniha. Here's the key, what it means for us. These great sages, they dedicated mind, body, soul to worshiping the Lord, who's Vishuddhasattva. He's beyond the touch of the modes of material nature. Therefore, they attain the highest benefit. Now, the verse says, those who aren't liberated, those who are controlled by the modes of material nature, can attain the same destination as those liberated souls. How? Anu. Simply follow them. Do what they did. And you are eligible for the same result. I may not be a great muni, great sage. I may know nothing. I may come from obscurity. But if I simply follow what those great sages have done, I'm eligible for the exact same result as they attained. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has been passed down to us by the great acharyas, like Namacharya Haridas Thakur, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now coming down through line of disciplic succession. And simply, the process is to repeat the name of God over and over again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And avoid the 10 offenses while chanting. There's chanting, and there's also avoiding the 10 offenses. Now, there's actually 11 offenses for those who are studying this. The 11th offense is inattentiveness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the root cause of all the other offenses is inattentiveness. And this is because Krishna is a person and we have a personal relationship with him eternally. And the name is actually is a person. So when we chant the name, all we have to do to come to a higher stage of chanting is to pay attention. Now, is that easy? No, that's where the work comes in. Because it's not easy to pay attention. Why? Material distractions. Okay, let's talk about that. This is the psychology of yoga. So yoga means to focus the mind, right? Because the mind will take us from one body to the next. This is the law of the material world. The mind is dragging us from one place to another. Where is that confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, antakali cha mam eva.
So whatever you think at the time of death, you carry over to the next.
Yes. So do you know where that is? 8th chapter, 5th verse. Fourth verse. Antakali cha mam eva smanamukva kalevaram ya prayati tadam jaham. Antakali cha mam eva smanamukva kalevaram. So Krishna says, Antakali means at the end of this body, at the end. Whatever you focus your mind on, you will attain that without fail. Or you'll attain my nature if you remember me at the time of death. Page 370. Text number 5. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samad bhavam yati nast yatra shamsayaha. Antakali means at the end of life. And when does that come about? The end of life. Parikshit Maharaj, how many days did he have? How many days do we have? We have 7 also. Because we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll die on one of those days. So we also have 7 days. Antakali chamameva means certainly when one leaves this body. Smaran means remembering. And we know, we sing this song, Ajastra smara smarare. Remember. Oh, just remember. Always remember. This is the goal of yoga, is to remember. Remember whom? Remember Krishna. Remember Vishnu. Antakali smana, antakali chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram. When muktva means quitting, there's a time at which we have to quit the body. We can't stay in it. It's an apartment. We've been rented this apartment for some time. And we already have the eviction notice. When do we get the eviction notice? As soon as we're born. And Krishna says, along with your birth, you get your eviction notice that you're going to die. So time is limited. We don't know when it's going to be, but that time when we have to give up the kalevaram, the body, is coming. Ya, he who prayati goes, sa, he, mat bhavam, my nature, yati, achieves, na, not, asti, there is, atra, samshaya, there's no doubt. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. The next verse complements this. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O Sunakunti, that state he will attain out without fail. So there are many states of consciousness that we can cultivate and attain while we're in the human form of life. How many approximately would you say there are states of consciousness? If you were going to make a guess, how many states would you say? Kind of a trick question.
At least two.
Two? At least two? How about 8,400,000? I'm thinking that there's 8,400,000 species of life, according to the Vedas. But let's hear your theory about two, because I'm sure that's valid also.
The living entity as a human, there would be two, obviously. One is when one is conscious while being awake, and the other that we refer to is the subconscious. So these are in dream and sleep.
Okay, we'll take that. But let me add to that, because according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's another state. There's awakened consciousness, which hopefully we're in now. Then there's sleeping consciousness with dreams, and there's one other state, and that is sleeping without dreams. That's like a comatose position. There is actually a position for the soul where we don't dream. It's a deeper state. This is mentioned. This is called susupti. And we go into that state also at the time of dissolution, when everything's wound back up into the body of Mahavishnu. Yasyaika nishvasita kala mata valambya jivanti loma vilajajakananata. It's described in the Brahma Sanhita how Vishnu, the creation is taking place on the rhythm of the breathing of Mahavishnu. When he exhales, everything becomes manifest. When he inhales, destruction takes place. Everything's wound back in. Trillions and trillions of years go by in one of his exhalations, and again in his inhalation. So I was referring to the fact that according to the nature of our consciousness, our bhavam, our nature, our feeling at the time of death, we take another body. According to the Vedas, there are 8,400,000 species of life. These represent different kinds of consciousness and desires of the living entity. A pig, for instance, of whom one can become well acquainted if you spend some time in Vrindavan. There are pigs in Vrindavan everywhere. And they live in filth, and they love it. And they can survive it also. I could not survive that condition and eat what they eat. I would last, you know, half a day, and I'd die of some kind of bacteria. But they can live through it. Krishna has awarded them a particular body, that living entity, according to a desire. And this is Krishna's kindness. Through material nature, he awards a particular body to a living entity according to his desire. As he desires, Krishna rewards. Material nature is inexorable, and it gives you what you want. So by the association of the three modes of material nature in different combinations and permutations, I can develop many states of consciousness, and they correlate with different kinds of bodies and existences. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that because of sangha with different kinds of modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and various combinations of those three modes, I attain various kinds of bodies in the material world. So according to my consciousness at the time of death, that will carry me to the next life. Yang yang vapi smadan bhavam. Whatever that bhavam is, whatever that feeling is at the end, that will determine my next life. Therefore, yoga means to fix the mind on whom? On Krishna, on his nature. Therefore, Krishna says, Manmana Pavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yuktaivam Atmana Mat Parayanaha. Sometimes people say, well, I have to discover what God wants me to do. But it's not a secret. It's open to everyone. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is the greatest of all secrets. But the amazing thing is, it's an open secret. Raja Vidya, Raja Kuyam. He says it's Kuyam, it's secret. But what's secret about it? It's in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's saying directly what he wants. God is speaking. What should I do? Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto means fix your mind on me. Now someone say, I don't know who God is. Well, we know God is Krishna. He has a form. He has an abode. There's a description of it in the Vedas. Say, well, I don't know if that's true or not, that particular description. Okay, then you give me yours. What is it? You give me a better one that's more substantiated, that comes through standard knowledge and is backed up by great authorities. And comes from standard books of knowledge that are accepted by all the great authorities, like the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes who he is. He's speaking to Arjuna. So it's simple, actually. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto means, Mom, think of me. Think of Krishna. Fix your mind on me. And if one thinks of Krishna, and meditates on Krishna, he worships Krishna, he bows down before Krishna, then his bhavam, his nature, becomes entwined with Krishna's. Everything he does becomes for Krishna. And at the time of death, yang vapi smaran bhavam, his bhava, his feeling, his nature, he's surrounded by Krishna and Krishna thought and intentions for serving Krishna. In fact, this is how you get a spiritual body. In this lifetime, there's only so much service you can do with this body, isn't there? I mean, you know, if you're really enlivened for doing seva, you can really push yourself, right? And then you start getting older, and how many hours can you put in? You still have to sleep sometimes. You have to take time to eat, take rest, sometimes get sick. But in a spiritual body, you can go all the time. So if your desire at the time when you're leaving this body is, Krishna, I want to do unlimited service, what will he do? He'll reward you like he rewards everyone else. He'll give you a body where you can do unlimited service. What is that? A spiritual body. Yang vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tami vaiti kontaya sadatad bhava bhavita. So we need to meditate on Krishna, fix our mind on Krishna. And the practical way to do this is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our senses are working, and when we chant the japa, aesthetically, it's very pleasing, actually, if you think about it. When you chant japa, you hold those beads in your hand, and you roll them in these fingers. And there's a connection there through the tactile sense. And there's a connection when you're moving your tongue. It's connected to the rest of your brain. And then the sound vibration comes. And that's something you can concentrate on, the sound of the mantra. Also, it's a recommended practice to think, and I'm still extrapolating on this 11th offense of the holy name, which is to be inattentive. I'm doing something, but I'm placing my attention somewhere else. This is what inattention means, and we do it all the time nowadays. Well, I do it all the time nowadays because modern technology. When I'm driving a car and I'm talking on the phone, right, and maybe doing something else at the same time as well. We get used to this. This kind of complicated lifestyle, multitasking. In a simpler time, simpler life, you know, there's one thing to do, go out and till the field, you know, no cell phone while you're out there. And you can get in the rhythm of it. There are simple things like walking. Just when I was in Govardhan, one thing that we do a lot when we're there is to walk. Walking is such a nice activity for the body. And you can also separate from your body when you're walking because it's rhythmic. Walking around Govardhan Hill, first of all, it's nice because you bare feet. You walk around Giriraj in bare feet. You feel the earth under your feet. You could feel the temperature. And then you know the terrain also intimately because the feet feel it. Sometimes they're pebbles. Sometimes it's smooth. And, you know, you're connected. You're actually connected. Then, as you walk and walk and walk, you go for miles and miles and miles. It's about 14 miles all the way around. And as you're walking, you get into a rhythm of walking and chanting, walking and chanting. And after a while, you feel like the body's just going and you're observing. The body's walking and here I am just chanting. You're watching your body move and walk and then you chant. So fixing our attention on the chanting is very important, that we're present when we chant. So one way or another, we should bring our mind into focus before we begin chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Think why I'm chanting. One reason I'm chanting is out of gratitude. Think of it like this. Krishna asked us through his representatives to chant 16 rounds a day. That's the least I can do. Think of what Krishna does for us. Everything. He gives us intelligence. He gives us the breath of life. It's all coming from him. And the least I can do is do what he asks. Just chant his name. Just think of him for a portion of the day. And then I'll feel satisfied. If I chant my 16 rounds, then I'll feel satisfied. I've done the yajna. I've done the prescribed yajna. And everything else I do, you can think of it like this. Everything else you do in life that day is blessed. It's blessed by Krishna. You've given your heart. You've given your body, your mind, your tongue, everything, to worship Krishna in that way by chanting his name. That's the prescribed process. And if you do it with intention when you're chanting the Hare Krishna Man mantra, the reward is very great. And why is it? The Yoga Sutras point this out, that there are many things that you can meditate on, like what? A candle flame, for instance, or an incense stick. You ever watch one burn down? You can meditate on many inanimate objects, but they don't reciprocate with you. But when you meditate on Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, Hare Krishna, especially the sound of his name, there's reciprocation, because Krishna is fully cognizant. He's sentient. And when I chant his name with full intention and consciousness, he will reciprocate. He does reciprocate. And he enlivens me to chant more and more. So in any relationship, the more attention I give to the person I'm speaking to, that I'm relating to, the more there's reciprocation. And there's an exponential growth of the relationship. So similarly, in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there's an exponential growth in the relationship as I participate by giving my attention. So the greatest method for advancement in spiritual life is none other than the repetition of the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this, we should, around this principle, we should organize our life. Around our chanting, we should organize our life. Whatever else I have to do during the day to make a living, to maintain my body, to maintain the bodies of people who are dependent on me, should be fixed around this process of chanting the holy name of God. Then it will all be successful. And naturally, I will make advance in the spiritual life. How? By the mercy of Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna. Ye yatam mam prapadyate tamstataiva bhajamyaham. He will reciprocate my yajna, this yajna of chanting his holy names. So in the Kali Yuga age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. According to Shastra and the great advanced devotees of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. You'll find this verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Radha and Krishna are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the two together. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined in one form. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir hladini shakti rasmad ekat manam api puvi buddha deha bedam gato tau. Radha and Krishna are one, but now are two, but now they've become one in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is what color? He's black, right? Shyam, blackish, beautiful. Attractive color shyam, like a dark monsoon cloud. Freshly formed cloud. So if you see a freshly formed cloud, you can know what the, like especially one of those dark storm clouds, right? Not the puffy white clouds we have here, but like, you know, in India when the monsoon comes and that heavy cloud comes in, or, you know, in any of the tropical countries, like Thailand sometimes, you see these huge clouds come in and they're dark, dark, dark. That's Krishna's color. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what color is he? Golden color. So he's Krishna, but he's not black. So how is that? So the duty, the effulgence of Radharani is coming out from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he's Krishna himself, but he's called Akrishnam. He's not blackish in this incarnation. He's golden. And that's the effulgence of Radharani. And why does he come? Why does Krishna come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He comes because Radharani is the greatest devotee of Krishna. And when she worships Krishna and serves Krishna, she experiences a pleasure that's 10 million times greater than what Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, experiences. That's a conundrum for Krishna because he's the supreme enjoyer. And now Radharani is enjoying 10 million times more than he is. So what is his solution? He comes as his own devotee, as Radharani, but he's Krishna himself, so that he can taste what Radharani is tasting. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he wants to enjoy everything. So he also enjoys himself by coming as his own devotee. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the age of Kali Yuga, delivers the highest kind of devotion. What is that? It's the kind of devotion that's only available in Krishna's topmost realm. Goloka namni nijadamni chale tatasya devi mahesha haridam suteshu teshu te te prabhavan jaya vihitascha yena govindamadi purusham tamahamajami. What is this verse? It's from the Brahma Samhita. And it's like a map. It's a quick map we can look at. Good to look at a map sometimes, isn't it? And know where you are. You go to say you're going to a mall or something like that. The Great Mall of America. Where is that? Minnesota? The biggest mall in the world? You could get lost in there probably, right? It all looks the same and you know where to go. So what do? You go look at a map. And what does the map say, hopefully? You are here. That's what I want to know. Where am I? If you look at the map, who cares? You just want to know, where am I? Where's that little red dot that says, where am I? So, Goloka namni nijadamni tale tatasya devi mahesha haridama suteshu teshu. In this map that's given in the Brahma Samhita, it's describing how there are gradations of planetary systems, realms of consciousness, where different kinds of entities live according to their existence. Hey, Abai, Hari Bol, you've arrived. Hare Krishna. And we're in Devidam. Make no mistake, we're in Devidam. Devidam is ruled over by Devi. And Devi has 10 arms. She rides on a tiger. And she carries what? Trident. Yeah, Trishul. So there's 3 points on that. They're pretty sharp, right? And she's jabbing. She jabs. That's the 3 points. They correlate to adiatmic, adibhotic, adidaivic. That's miseries of the material world. That means miseries that come about from the body and the mind. My own body and mind cause me problems, right? Definitely. Then there's miseries caused by other living entities, like the people in my neighborhood who use leaf blowers. They've ruined the world with leaf blowers. No? I mean, you'd think, you know, you could get a little peace in the world, but the leaf blowers come out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and what is the peace? No peace. Ring! No peace. For other living entities causing misery. Then there's adidaivic miseries. Too hot, too cold, hurricane, the natural causes from the demigods. So one of these 3 miseries is always prevalent in one way or another. That's Devi. And so 10 arms means very difficult to get away. Impossible. That's why this material world is called Durga. What does that mean? Durgachati. It means difficult to go. You can't, it's hard to move around in this world. Everywhere you go, everyone wants to see your passport. Don't drive too fast. Don't drive too slow. Did you have your license? You know, where are you from? You can't move around in this world very easily. Honestly, you can't. You try to go anywhere. Go across a border somewhere and they'll question you. You don't have the right document. Go home. You don't have enough money. You have too much money. There's a very difficult durgachati to move in this world. So above this, Goloka namni nijadamni taleta tasya devi mahesha, there are different graded realms. Above Devidam is Maheshdam. Above Maheshdam, there's Haridam. Above Haridam, There's Goloka Dham. This is Nija Dham. This is the personal abode of Krishna. And in the personal abode of Krishna, there are no worries. You're with Krishna. He's the Suridam. He's the greatest friend. And there, Krishna exchanges loving relationships in four kinds of relations with his devotees as a friend. And the friends of Krishna in Goloka, they don't see him as God. They see him as a friend. After all, who wants, you know, people all the time around who are just followers? It'll drive you crazy after a while. You know, you want to be with your friends, right? And they treat you equally. They'll beat you up or they'll cut a joke at your expense, right? Then you can all laugh and this is happiness, right? So in Goloka, Krishna, in fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned how Krishna says, as Narayan, he says, those who offer me the reverent prayers of the Vedas. Boring. He says, boring. You know, it's like not so exciting. But he says, when my consorts insult me, you know, out of love, then I feel some happiness. When my friends wrestle me to the ground and fight with me and jump on my back and say, you're not such a big man, then I feel happy. Could everyone move forward a little bit? Because that way we'll leave we'll have better feng shui in here and the door, there'll be clear opening. Please move in, make yourself comfortable. Is everyone all right? Happy? Okay. Come close. Better for me. Have your association. So Krishna lives in his own realm. He exchanges these loving exchanges with his devotees in Goloka Dham. This is Nija Dham, his personal Dham, very personal Dham. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna himself, comes to distribute knowledge about this kind of devotion. It's devotion that's not hindered by awe and reverence. It's spontaneous loving devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he teaches about this. And he doesn't discriminate who he teaches it to. He teaches it to everybody. That means it's available in the age of Kali Yuga, especially when he gives the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's entwined in this wreath of prema, special kind of love for Krishna that's available in Goloka Vrindavan. So when we take this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, coming to us, being passed down through disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a special kind of mantra, and it's meant to invoke this kind of spontaneous love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is about the same as the preface was for this talk, and that is that the process of perfection is attained by chanting the names of God, and especially compact in this one mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is recommended in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, and which is recommended by the great acharyas, and which is chanted by the great acharyas. It's available to us now. It's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's coming from the spiritual world, Golokera Prema Dhan, Harinam Sankirtan. It's a gift coming down from the spiritual world. Imagine that. Something free in this world that gives you all perfection, all happiness. Everything is contained within the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's unlike anything else in this world. It's the rarest thing that you can get. And here it is right in front of me. Now if I sit down and I don't pay attention when I chant, this is foolishness. This is a mistake. And this is an offense. And so sometimes devotees ask, how is it I'm chanting? I don't feel anything. Pay attention. Pay attention. Hear what you're chanting and remember what you're chanting is the rarest thing. And just chant two mantras, whatever you can, and remember what a precious thing it is. And chant with gratitude. Thank Krishna for everything that you have, for your breath, for your life, for the fact that you can remember him, that you can love him. Thank him for that. Do it as a sacrifice when you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to chant for Krishna. Even if I can't do it perfectly, I'm going to do it as perfectly as I can in order to please Krishna, who's my benefactor in every way. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. There's pleasure in that. There's actual happiness in that. There's pleasure in the material world too. But it's so minute. It's compared by Vidyapati to be like when you're in the desert and you have nothing to drink and you're dying of thirst and someone comes before you and says, I'll give you water. Put out your hand. You put out your hand and he pulls out an eyedropper and gives you one drop of water. Is it enough? I ask you, is it enough? No, it's not enough. It looks like water. It is water, but it's not enough. So above that kind of pleasure is the pleasure that's achieved through the process of yoga. And this divine yoga, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, this is bhakti yoga. This is communion with him, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through devotional worship. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakti pradachati. Such a simple thing. He says, offer me some water. Where's water available? Pretty much everywhere, except maybe they say no, it's not on these other planets. What do they know? But water you can get anywhere. You have to. So offer some water to Krishna with devotion. What is water? It's the life-giving substance. What is water? Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashishu. Krishna says, I'm the taste in water. You know when you're thirsty and you drink water, you're quenched? That's Krishna. That's the feeling, Krishna, and you can remember Krishna when you drink water. You can offer water anywhere. It means offer everything to Krishna. Offer it to Krishna with love and devotion. And when you chant, offer your chanting to Krishna. Offer him this sacrifice that you're my life, you're my breath. Everything is coming from you. Now I'll do this one little sacrifice today before I do anything else. To try to satisfy you because you're so great, you're so kind. So I'll chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Krishna is easily pleased. He's easily pleased. Other people are not so easily pleased. Sometimes try to please someone and they take it the wrong way. But Krishna, he knows my intention. And if I try to please him in a simple way and just chant his name, he'll become pleased. Just like during Kartik. You know, Krishna asked during Kartik, just offer one lamp. That's all he asked. So what a simple thing, how God is pleased by offering one lamp. I don't know why. He likes it. He asked for a lamp, so I offer him a lamp. He says, offer a lamp, and then he's happy. And he just come in and, you know, here, Krishna, here's the lamp. And he's pleased, and then I become pleased, and your life becomes auspicious. So if we find out what Krishna likes, he says, offer a lamp, you offer a lamp. If he says, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Your life will be happy, satisfied. That's the secret to life, is just to please Krishna. And he's so easily pleased. Just by chanting his name, he's in his name, and he's worshipped by his name. And it's all auspicious. The name Krishna, that there's no estimate to how deep the name is, Krishna. And Hare, and Rama, Ramante Yogano Anante, Satyananda Yadatmani, Iti Rama Padena Su. The great sages, they give up everything. What for? Rama. They abandon their house. What for? Rama. Money? Who cares? Rama. It's all in there. All the pleasure is there in the name, in Rama, Rama, Rama. I saw, in Govardhan, when you walk around Govardhan, you see the wildest things. It goes right in your eyes and mind and your heart. And there are devotees that live on the Parikram Marg. You know, around Govardhan Hill, it's about 28 kilometers all the way around. And there are sadhus who live out there on the pathway. And what do they do all day long? Well, some of them, they have a pile of rocks, 108 rocks. And then they have a little altar they put up right on the marg, on the ground. And then there's a little pad they put down for their knees. And they'll take one of those rocks, they'll do a full dandavat and put the rock down in front of the altar. Stand back up again, take another rock, fall back down again. 108 times, right? Then what do? Then they move it the next... then they move it, you know, 6 more feet forward. And then they do it again, 108, 108. And they move forward again. And they go all the way and go around Govardhan Hill. Then what do? Start over. And I see them out there every day because I go out on walking and I do the dandavats, but I walk around with everybody else. And you see them there, they're happy. In fact, everyone I meet, there's families that go out around Govardhan Hill to do Dandavat Parikram. Families. The kids are there, the wife's there, everyone. And you know what? Everyone's happy. I don't see the same happiness when people are coming out of Walmart. You know, they're all in anxiety. They kind of like, where's the car? You know, we got all this junk now. What are we going to do? Put it with the other junk we got. The material world is full of anxiety. But when you're out there lying in the dust of Vrindavan, offering dandavats to the Lord, there's no anxiety. Everyone's happy. You go by and they say, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Everyone's happy. Everyone's feeling satisfaction. Satisfaction comes from these simple things. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. The mind must be satisfied. It must be satisfied. And the only way to satisfy the mind is to engage it in Krishna's service. If you engage it in Krishna's service, then it becomes satisfied. No other way. If I give you $1,000,000 right now, I have it in my car, I'll give it to you. Now your mind's agitated. Is he really going to give it to me? What if I really do give it to you? What are you going to think? You're going to think, why only 1 million? He has 5 million. Why doesn't he give me 2 million? And immediately you'll think, how am I going to invest this money? Am I going to get there right? And what if I lose it? What if the government asks me where I got it, right? You won't be happy. The $1,000,000 won't make you happy. But what's everyone working for in this world? Money. I want money. It doesn't make you happy. But what does make you happy is Krishna. And Krishna is so easy to please. He's right there. He's in his name. He's in the water. He's in the sky. He's in the sun. Do I notice the sun coming up in the morning? The biggest event of the day, the sun coming up. When we sit and chant the Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day, you have to stop and sit down, collect your thoughts, collect your breath. You put your finger around your sacred thread that you've received from your spiritual master. You think, what a gift. And now you chant your mantras. And you meditate on the sun, that Krishna is looking at me through the sun, that all life is coming from the sun. God is here. He's with us at every second. Do I see him? No, I don't. I'm driving down the 101 freeway. I put my blinder down. Sun's in my eyes. I got to go. Radio's blasting. Phone's going. Got bills to pay. I've forgotten about God. That's the only problem in the world. I've forgotten about God. So the only thing that's necessary for the soul is Krishna. We are part of Krishna. We need Krishna at every second. And as soon as we have him, we're like a baby back with its mother. The baby's not happy, you pass it to, you know, everyone in the room. When it gets back to the mother, it knows, mother, back feeling satisfied. So we need Krishna like a baby needs its mother. So we should chant Krishna's name like that, like a baby calling out for its mother. And remember that I'm helpless. I need Krishna. Nothing else will help me in this world. Then we'll become happy. And we need to also pass this message on to others too, to give them the opportunity for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let them hear it. Let them hear the name. And distribute prasadam. Show kindness to our living entities. This is our mission here at ISV. It's a simple mission. Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. The essence of all religion is this. Kindness to other souls by giving them Krishna nam. That's it. That's the essence of religion. You can build hospitals, worthy cause, helps the body, but it doesn't satisfy the soul. But if you give Krishna Nam, then the soul becomes eternally benefited and eternally satisfied by taking that. So that's our mission. Take the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as your life and soul. Come to this standard as given by the Sampradaya, if you possibly can. Work your way up through yoga, through practice, abhyas, to chant at least 16 rounds a day and japa. Concentrate the mind. You'll become a better person. Every one of your endeavors will become easier and better. If you learn to do this kind of yoga, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, concentrate your mind, practice a little bit every day. Come to this standard of 16 rounds, of chanting the 16 rounds, hearing the name of God every day. There's no other worthy occupation in this world other than connecting with God through his name in the age of Kali Yuga. And if you do that, you'll be satisfied. Your family will be satisfied. Everyone will respect you. You'll become the highest, most respectable person in the world for concentrating your mind on the name of God. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuta muhadguna manorati nasati tavato bhi. Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you do this one thing, think of Krishna, meditate on Krishna, chant Krishna's name, you will get all good qualities. All attractive qualities will come to you just by this one thing, associating with Krishna's name. And if you don't do that, you can go to the best school in the world. You can dress yourself up. You can put on the nicest face. But your qualities will be mental. They won't be real. We want the real thing, and that comes from chanting Krishna Nam. Everything is in the Nam. Everything is available through chanting Krishna's name. There was one sadhu who lived in Vrindavan one time. He didn't eat much. And one time, one devotee as I was said, Maharaj, you're not eating. For the last 3 days, you didn't eat. And he said, all vitamins are there within the holy name. And that's true. We do have to eat something. We have to have a regulated life. But we should also think like that. All vitamins are there within the holy name. So this is our mission. It's the Hare Krishna movement. Everything moves by the power of the holy name. Our lives will change. Everything will become better by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any complaints? Question? Comment? Dainidi Prabhu. How was the Vrindavan Yatra? Indescribably wonderful. Now, was that a cell phone? Okay. Just so everyone knows, we have a wonderful policy here about cell phones from now on. And that is that if your cell phone goes off, you should be very happy because you get to buy one Sri Ashapanishad for $5. So everyone be aware that you're a lucky winner of a Sri Ashapanishad for $5 if your cell phone goes off in the class. Okay? Dainidi Prabhu?
I just wanted to ask
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
About the difference between japa and sankirtan. It seems like the Lord Chaitanya, you know, it's, you know, we talk about the sankirtan movement, congregationally chanting, but then, you know, in the movement, you know, we really stress japa. I mean, we stress chanting kirtan or japa, but it seems like, I don't know, it seems like Lord Chaitanya always, you know, I mean, obviously Lord Chaitanya stressed japa too, but I don't know much about how he stressed japa. Can you say something about that?
Sure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day, in a regulated way, used to go to Imlital. In Vrindavan, when he was when he stayed in Vrindavan, went to Imlital. The tree is still there, actually. You can go visit that tree. It's right along the Parikram Marg, right next to the Jamuna. And he'd sit under that tree, and he would chant japa, regulated way. And Puri Maharaj used to bring this up all the time, about how Mahaprabhu, he would bring this up about japa. He said he would sit down, chant japa every day in a regulated way. And he'd chant when he was walking here, there, and everywhere. Japa's, you know, it's a personal worship of Krishna. It's the most intimate way to worship Krishna by uttering his name over and over again. And when one's heart becomes clean by chanting the holy name, you can't stop. You don't want to stop at any time. Even while sleeping, you should chant. What this 24 hours a day means, Prabhupada said, he had a relative. Please come in. Nice to see you. Hare Krishna. Welcome back. And he had a relative who was a cloth merchant. And, you know, Vaishyas in India, they're not like Vaishyas in America. You know, Vaishyas in America, like they work at a store part-time and they sell something. And it's like their part-time job. They don't care. It's just, you know. But in India, if someone sells cloth, they grew up from the time they were babies, you know, hearing about cloth, every kind of cloth, how to sell cloth, watching their father sell cloth. By the time they're 4 years old, they're in there collecting the rupees. And by the time they're 10, you know, they can run a universal cloth, you know, organization, right? That's a Vaishya. And so he had a relative like that, cloth merchant, just totally fixed. And he said when he, sometimes when he, Prabhupada would see him sleeping, he'd be quoting prices. Cloth prices, you know, 40 rupees. So this is absorption. This is a kind of absorption. So similarly, we do the same thing through our japa. You know, stay absorbed. Bring the mind back. And you chant like that, then even in your sleep you'll chant. Now, Harinam, doing the public Harinam, this is even better. Because congregationally, I can be any kind of mood. My mind can be anywhere. But as soon as I get into the kirtan, immediately I have to give up all my my moroseness, my false ego, the holy name brings me out of that. So Mahaprabhu did both. You know, he organized this chanting at Srivasangam, so all night long the devotees would chant and dance together. And then in the morning, the devotees would chant japa. So our whole life rotates around this chanting process, either chanting kirtan or chanting japa. And it's a good idea at home to have some sankirtan, to sit down and chant with the family. Or if you're by yourself, pull out your madanga and chant for an hour. Just chant for an hour straight and sing. Sing the names out loud. And then invite somebody over to chant with you. And then it works every time. Wherever you chant the holy name of the Lord, people will congregate. Why? Krishna sends them. If you chant purely anywhere, like Prabhupada started this movement by going to Thompson Square Park. He said, I didn't go to Thompson Square Park to attract a crowd. It wasn't a PR stunt. He went to Thompson Square Park to glorify Krishna. That's what he said. And because he was absorbed in glorifying Krishna, Krishna sent all kinds of living entities specifically for that reason. So whether you chant out loud, whether you chant soft, the idea is chant. Arrange your life 24 hours. Tannama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayana kilamitu padesha sadam. The essence of all advice is one should arrange one's life so that 24 hours a day you're engaged in hearing and chanting. And you can do that. It's possible. And if you do it, then your life becomes auspicious and perfect. Gopremanande Haribo Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. Sacrifice of chanting japa ki. Gopremanande. So now we're going to have Sankirtan. And we're going to stand up, put all the books away in the most efficient manner possible. Then we're going to have an artik ceremony accompanied by the chanting of Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.